Welcome to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. This is where you're going to discover how to bring awakening into the body and into everyday life through powerful tantric teachings. Get ready to release, open and step into your true power.
I feel a surge of teachings that want to come through now around love and relationship, which is probably the biggest area of conflict and struggle in a woman's life. And the thing that I see with so many women, actually every woman I know besides my daughter, and a lot of the time with Tara, is that when stuff is coming up, there is this focus on other. When desires are coming up, there is this focus on other. And if I could teach you anything about having a relationship that is based on a meeting of souls, that is based on a feeling of wholeness that is overflowing, it is this. The center focus, the center point of love is the love that you feel inside of you between your own masculine and feminine. This is truth. Your relationship is going to reflect that. Is your masculine listening and holding space for you with an absolute presence that has no agenda for you to change? Is your masculine listening to what you need and actioning that? Your masculine. Is your inner man everything that you want? I need a man who's connected to God, to spirit, to freedom as his main priority in life. I know that I need that. Is my man embodying that? I need a man who is more connected to what's going on for him than what's going on for me, especially when confronting situations arise. Is my man capable of that? I need a man who's constantly growing and humbling himself before the lessons of our relationship, before the lessons of life, instead of becoming a victim. Is my masculine capable of that? Everything that you want in a man, is your masculine capable of that? Is he giving that to your feminine, your inner soulmate, your primary relationship, the one that's been there with you from the day you were born and the only one that's guaranteed to be there for the rest of your life, is your inner masculine? Do you love him? Do you respect him? Do you trust him? Does he hold you in a space of willingness to act on your desires, to act on your intuitive whispers, to act on your creative flow? And of course, the man you end up with is going to have even more than that and be able to teach you even more things. And your masculine is going to be a little brother to him. Because the masculine in a male body of the man that you desire is going to have certain qualities that are more mature. And can you learn from that? And can you get over your fucking self and pull your nose down from being up in the air going, he's not this and he's not that and he needs to do this and I want to change him and I'm going to take away his freedom and turn him into someone else? What if your authentic truth is that you want your man to be fully him, be all of him, not fucking coach him, not give him unsolicited advice, be in your authentic truth, be transparent with things as they arise, and you go, hey, I am surrendering to the authentic resonance of this relationship. I am surrendering to the authentic resonance of who this man truly is, instead of only referring to him from a standpoint of what he can give me. And I'm remaining in my narcissistic fucking bubble of how he makes me feel. What about removing for a moment the lenses of expectation and demands that come from the needy princess who is waiting for something to make her feel loved and worthy and good enough. And free of feeling rejected or a failure. What if you weren't afraid of feeling any of that and you could just be curious, is this the man for me? Is this the man for me when he's in his authentic expression? And do your needs, do your desires naturally change him if he loves you and can capitalize on your best interests and see that what you need is actually good for him too? Fuck yes. I have grown exponentially through what Matisse needs. He has grown exponentially through what I need. Do we ever express to each other what we need as a condition of our relationship? Never. We're sharing from an authentic space of this doesn't feel good for me, this does. And so what didn't feel good for him at the beginning of our relationship was how busy I was. So I'm like, would it feel better for me not to be so busy? Yes, I can give this to him. My ongoing request has been for him to mature in his capacity to love my children. Has that been an incredible journey for him? Yes. And this is a meeting of souls where we're not desperate for that person to give us what we need because otherwise the relationship might be over. But we are meeting each other with curiosity and we are trusting that for as long as we are in resonance with our authentic alignment, as long as we are transparent, and we're not talking about polarity or I'm feeling this and you're feeling that and your boundaries this and my boundaries that and all of the spiritual lingo, and it's helpful to a point. At some point, Matisse and I never talk like that. We are meeting each other's souls in a transparency that's in that moment, that is rooted in that moment. What would it be like to share and express from a transparency that's rooted in this moment? What would that feel like with a beloved? To know that you are worthy of being seen and felt beyond the mind and its stories and its control mechanisms. That here we are. And you know what? Him and I are always like, I don't know. It's like, I'm feeling this. What do you feel? I'm not sure just yet. And we have to feel into it. We have to experiment. What if everything in your relationship was an experiment? When I first said to him, I don't know if I can be with you unless you're treating my kids in a way like they're your own. You're holding them in your awareness. You're not just showing up on a physical level, which you're so fucking good at, and meeting their needs, but there's a cosmic level to your fathering. And he's like, I don't know. And I didn't get all in the tears. Oh, what if the relationship ends? And da 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 da. I'm just like, fair enough. It is fair enough that he didn't know. And is he there now? Abso-fucking-lutely. And has it been a huge journey and growth point and edge for my kids and for him and for me to feel that a man is capable of loving my children and that I have the courage to be transparent about that? Even when my mind was going, it's unreasonable to ask a 31-year-old man who's not actually the father of their children to bring what I've always needed from the fathering energy. It doesn't, you need to be unfucking reasonably worthy of what you desire. You need to be unreasonably wealthy. And if that means money, that means money. Wealth to me is definitely money. I fucking love money. And I want millions. You may not want that. Don't want what I want. Don't want what anyone wants. Want what you want. Want what makes you feel in the ultimate energy of full aliveness. What is your 100% aliveness? If your 100% aliveness means that the man you're with loves your children, fair the fuck enough. Might not be reasonable when you look at it from the mind. If your 100% aliveness is being on stage, if your 100% aliveness is being a mother and not doing anything for service, if your 100% aliveness is being a person who completely removes yourself from society for a stage, there are stages, there are phases, and I'm always speaking from the lenses of my subjectivity. I do not want you to be you. I want you to be a leader in the world because I'm interested in the evolution of humanity. And for you to be a leader in the world, you need to be self-led. That's what a leader is. They are self-led from the truth of their being because they know and they remember that they are God, that they are love, that this body is not who we are. And it is who we are. You know, we live in this. This is a vessel from which our soul can express. Our mind is here. It's not an illusion, but it's not who we are. Who we are is a divine form of the formless. And all the forms that you create, if they are coming from your authentic, holy desire of your soul that is divine, then you are living in alignment with Source, with Spirit. And you can trust that. You can trust that when you're aligning to that, it's all going to happen. Because it does. You're operating at a different frequency. And you're sourcing from here. And of course, what people say, what you hear, wisdom from elders, wisdom from young ones, it's all supportive, but you're checking it out. You're checking it out. Is this my truth? You're listening with the capacity to have your mind change to your children, to your beloved, to your teachers. Even if there's something that's like, oh, I don't know about this. I remember when I went to a workshop about the sacred slut at a conference I went to. And I could feel this resistance even just to that word, right? And the slut archetype has always been my most difficult. You know, I didn't make love till I was 19. I was with him for 8 months before I gave that to him. I've only ever made love to men that I love. You know, this wild tantrika hasn't really had sex with many men, and it always has to be very sacred. And I have to feel that their heart loves me or I don't feel safe. So, you know, sacred slut and all my associations with that. And I remember just like my dad always said to me, the art of listening is listening with a capacity to having your mind changed. That's when you're truly listening. When you're open at the time of listening, it doesn't mean you have to take it on, but it means you're considering it. And that's a really good rule when you're in any kind of situation. When you're talking to your partner and you're having this battle of minds of who's right and who's wrong, you're both right. You both have different points of view. Can you put yourself in the other person's shoes? Can you just listen with an open mind? Oh, maybe they're right. Doesn't mean they have to be. So I'm listening, and I'm listening to the freedom and liberation of, you know, making love and it being an in-the-moment experience where you fully unleash and get wild. And there was all these different aspects to the sacred slut, and it really just fully untaming yourself and claiming your pleasure and being in a state of aliveness with your sexuality, a state of erotic embodiment. And as we were going through the exercises, I didn't feel safe because the last thing that I want to do is encourage men towards me when I'm in an open state. It's okay, like, to seduce and manipulate when I was younger and get men wanting to fuck me. But that's not the healthy sacred slut. That's manipulation and trying to get validation, you know. But actually, there was no opening. There was no possibility of being a club with my friends. They couldn't touch me. But suddenly I'm in this workshop where we're being invited to be erotically embodied in an open state. And I'll always experiment with energies and just see how it fits. And so I'm feeling this. And then the teacher was encouraging more openness and I didn't feel safe. And so I went and sat in the corner with myself and the teacher came over and he's like, this is an edge for you. You need to explore it. I said, this is too much of an edge for me and I don't need to explore it. I listened, I opened, I tried it on. It didn't fit with me. And I want you to know that that is okay. You don't want to go so past your window of tolerance that you have to dissociate for anything or anyone, even if you're being told that spiritually this is where you need to go. Well, and have I eventually understood the sacred slut? And am I embodying her more? Absolutely. Is she still my least embodied archetype? And would I love to expand into her even more? I'm still not sure. Yes, she's my least experienced archetype, and I'm still unsure if I ever really want to fully surrender into that energy, because it feels really scary for me, and that's okay. So part of honoring your no is not that your no has to be reasonable. You know, I would have just been so happy if my unreasonable no, when I was clinging onto my mum's leg and she would drop me off to my uncle's when she didn't know what was happening, and I was saying, no, I don't want to go, and she'd be like, don't be silly. And so nicely, I would have liked her to honor my unreasonable no. I would have liked her to trust my nervous system, but she couldn't. But I can, and that's what I do now. Because when I started tuning into my little girl, she said, I want you to honor my no. I want you to listen when I say no, even if it's unreasonable. And sometimes I just have to listen to her and honor that a few times. And then she's a yes. But her boundaries have been so fucking crossed. So your authentic yes, your authentic no doesn't have to be reasonable according to any teacher, doctrine, creed, or conditioning. And sometimes that's hard. It's like Matisse would say to me when we were first together, why are you, I'd be like having the next person over for dinner, and he's like, well, you have people over for dinner a lot. And I'm like, I know, I wish no one was coming. He's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because they need me. They need that time with me. And I like to just give them that, you know, that time. And I don't have time during the day because I'm giving sessions. So the time I have at night is at dinner. And he's like, but you don't want to. I'm like, yeah, but. And he's like, no buts, but you don't want to. Like, why do they matter more than you? I'd never actually considered that before. So I stopped having a different person over for dinner every night. That was the beginning of a huge shift in my life. And then he started questioning other things. And that questioning led me to, it's like all of these people were applying to work for me. And I was saying to him, oh, I'm so distressed. I'm like, I don't have time for all of these people. He's like, well, why don't you put your prices up? If the demand is that strong and there's not enough supply, in his Matisse way. And I'm like, because I don't want to become inaccessible. He's like, but you've got a practitioner training and you're training people. I'm like, uh-huh. So I put my prices up and then they just kept going up. And I still have applications all the time. And the fear with that was, what if nobody wants to work with me? What if I'm completely inaccessible? So then it's facing those fears, but following the pulse of what's in my ease, joy, and pleasure, following, trusting that pulse. And he actually said to me, how much would you want for it to be worth it to you? And it's like, at this point in my life, to give my time, what's the value I put on that, and actually questioning that. And it's just a rewriting. It's an undoing. Okay, here's my authentic self right now, but sometimes who you are in your authenticity is so far away from who you've been. So it's an undoing of all of those beliefs. And as you're feeling what your yes is, you're feeling the contractions and the no's that are here in the beliefs of your conditioning, in the beliefs of your inner being, in the beliefs of what you know. So I'm here to tell you that you deserve what is aligned with your ease, joy, pleasure, and service. You absolutely deserve that. And the more you follow that, the more you envision that, feel it in your body, and let the action arise from the being of authenticity, you will see an undoing of everything that is not truly you, that you've set up in yourself. And actually, it's fucking crazy. Because my biggest fear when I was going through this process was that I wouldn't be able to be there for people. And I'm more there for people than ever. My cup is so full and there's so much more money that I can just overflow. And I've got more time with my kids than I've ever had in my life. So trust your authentic desires. Trust what's true.
Thanks for listening to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. For more great free resources, in-person and online workshops and our retreats, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Embodied Awakening Academy or visit embodiedawakeningacademy.com.